Hello, everybody. How are you doing? Pastor Mackenzie Kambizi. I hope you had a wonderful celebration of the story of Jesus' death on that wonderful cross and his burial and his resurrection. We are so grateful that Jesus did all this for you, just for me. That's the story. And so I'm very much excited for it today. I want to say Happy New Week. Happy New Week as we get into this month of April. We want to do some things. We want to encourage each and every one of us for us to make it happen. We are coming again with Progress on Purpose. Progress on Purpose. Hello, I see you. Thank you, sir, for coming in. Please invite others and share with them that we are about to just do some things, some very important things that I believe is going to enhance and bless your life and mine as we move forward and make some things work. I'm going to do a teaching that is very practical and relevant in one of the oldest predicaments or issues of humanity. And I just want us to get into it and talk about it. Problem solving, decision making, and problem solving on purpose. Decision making and problem solving on purpose. That's what we want to talk about. And we're praying, Father, give us wisdom and give us understanding and give us knowledge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14 is a very powerful word of scripture that I would like to use for us as we launch into problem decision making and problem solving on purpose. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14 says, where there's no counsel, when there's no talking together, where there's no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, they surfeit. In other words, don't do it alone, don't go it alone. Where there are more advisors, yes, I see you. Hello, how are you doing? I just want us to get in and talk about one of the oldest things that has ever come the way of humanity. Decision making and problem solving. They go hand in hand. And I want to share with us on this very important subject. We all have problems. Let's start right there. We all have problems. In fact, let me tell you something. The more your journey is in the things of God and in the things of life, the bigger the problems you are going to experience. And I want you to understand this. Many people ask me, Pastor, how can I deal with problems? Because many of us, people of faith especially, we've been taught the wrong way. We live life running away from problems. But let me tell you something. If you want to know if you are in God's will, it is. If you want to know clearly, no doubt, that you are in God's will, ask yourself this question. Am I a problem solver? Or I am a problem creator, okay? God's will always solves a problem. God's will always solves a problem. So we may not understand how he's going to do it, but if it is God's will, it is always a solution to a problem. I want you to understand that. So people wonder, how do I know if it's God's will for me? No, if it's solving a problem, whose problem are you solving? If you are a problem creator, there's no will of God in that. The will of God always solves problems. That's what the will of God does. So I want us to get into it and we discuss these things. We all have problems. And let me tell you something. God had to push me to start Progress on Purpose because I was in so many problems. And some of the problems are not personal. They come from ministry. They come from some of you. I got to go through what I must go through in order for me to learn what I must learn and then come and share with the world at large. So I want you to understand that problems are part of life. You need to know, you need to embrace, accept problems. Problems are part of life. So you need to understand, you cannot run away from problems. You can't live life running away from problems. I was in Australia in 2016, and something happened when I was there. I was walking along the beach, you know, just walking. I'd had my fish and chips, and I looked at the beach, and I saw so many people who were swimming and doing things. And as I was watching, I saw out of nowhere, people started running. Something happened that I had not seen in my life, okay? I'm just confessing here. There were a lot of people who were running away from the sea, okay? They were running away from the sea. And then I saw a bunch of people who were shirtless, just in shorts, running toward the sea. You see, I love to see, I see sermons, I see lessons everywhere. So I said, let me see this phenomenon. People are running away from the sea, and there's a group of people who are running toward the sea. And then I observed those who were running toward the sea, they had some surfboards. And then it dawned on me that whilst others were running away from the sea, there were others who were running toward the sea. The surfers needed large waves for them to ride and enjoy their sport. So whilst others were running for their lives from the wave, others were running toward the wave to enjoy the wave. And let me tell you something, everybody. Problems in life, they come to all of us. All of us have problems. All of us got problems. I'm telling you right now, everybody got problems. Even Jesus had problems. When you read in the Gospels, you discover people had issues with him. I mean, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to stone him. They misrepresented what he said. Come on, talk to me. So you, my friend, you'll never be exempted from problems. All of us got problems. The rich got problems. The poor got problems. The black got problems. The white got problems. The powerful got problems. The weak got problems. Everybody got problems. So today, I want to talk about decision-making and problem-solving on purpose. All right? That's what we're about to do. And listen, you're going to love this. This is going to take you to another place. I want to give you 7 principles that are going to help you to make, because decision-making and problem-solving, they go hand in hand. Okay? Simply because you made a decision, it doesn't mean you have solved a problem. The two must work together. Okay, so I want to get into it, decision-making and problem-solving on purpose. So I'm going to share with you 7 principles that you need to understand for you to solve problems on purpose. All of us got problems. Did you hear that? All of us got problems. If you know how to handle problems, you would have done a great favor to yourself. God's will always solves problems. You are a solution to a problem. So which problems do you run to fix? All right, let's get into it. So I'm going to give you 7 principles, and then I'm going to give you 6 questions that you must ask and answer. I believe thinking is needed in life if we are going to do more than we have done before. I really do believe it. You know, I believe faith is logical. I believe it doesn't exempt us from thinking. We got to think. Some of our issues, all they need are literally for us to sit down, pray about it, and think about it. Think it through, and things will happen. So let's get into it. Problem solving, decision making, and problem solving on purpose. All right? Running to problems. Yeah, there it is, sir. The surfers, they run to the wave. The bigger the wave on the sea, the greater the joy of surfers. So I want to challenge you. Whose problem are you running to, and what problem are you running from? All right, let's get into it. I've got one of my big man here, one of the greatest treasurers in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He is a great friend of mine. Thank you, sir, for coming. Here it is. Let's talk about it. Problem solving on purpose. All right. Number one, you must determine if the situation is a problem or a condition. All right. If you're going to solve problems on purpose and making decisions on purpose, number one, you must determine if the situation that's creating the situation you're in, that is the one that you do not like, or the one that is threatening your peace and joy, determine if the situation is a problem or a condition. Now, I'm talking about think. You got to think if you're going to solve problems, because you can't just will it away. No. Ask yourself, this situation that's creating problems for me, is it a problem or it's a condition? Because once you identify if it is a problem or it is a condition, then the way you handle it, it changes. You can only deal with issues and problems based on what they are. Is it an issue or it's a condition? Number two, you got to clearly state the problem. If you're going to solve a problem on purpose, you must state the problem clearly. What are we dealing with here? Don't spiritualize the problem. What is it? Clearly state the problem. Okay? I am in a problem. I need to help this. I need to fix this. What is the problem? See, many of us do not want to do that because what that does is you gotta, don't assume. Listen, write this down. If you are to clearly understand the problem and clearly state the problem, never assume what you can verify. Don't assume what you can verify. You gotta find out what is the issue. One thing I've discovered in the army, I was just studying some things, I discovered that in the army, in the U.S. Army, it is important for you not to shoot without seeing the target. You gotta see what the target is before you shoot. Okay, because you may actually shoot your own fellow soldier. And we have discovered that friendly fire has killed more people in wars than enemy fire. Okay? So friendly fire is when you just shoot because something has moved. Okay? But if you had just waited a little bit, you would have discovered that's your friend who is covering your back. So I want to challenge you, my friend, all of us have problems. Let me tell you something. If you don't have any problems, I'm sorry for you because you're not leaving. It's problems that get us to reach out to other people. It's problems that makes us believe God, pray, and even look for better ways to get things done. Problems are a blessing. It's a blessing to have problems. The more problems you have, the more alive you become. Is that all right? So number two, clearly state the problem. What is the problem? If you have a conflict with somebody, you need to understand what is the problem. What problem do we have? Write this thing down. You got to clearly state the problem because here's what it is. When you clearly state the problem, you know, you should never have, this is what I'm learning now, never have relationship problems with someone that you don't have a relationship with. You can only get to that conclusion when you clearly state the problem. Don't have relationship problems with somebody that you don't have a relationship with. Don't have friendship problems. Problems with somebody that you don't have friendship with. So clearly state the problem. All right? If you're going to solve it, sometimes it's because somebody doesn't have a context of you. Somebody has zero knowledge of who you are and what you bring to the table and what you can do. All right, I'll share with you here, Facebook. I preached a sermon this weekend, a powerful sermon on the cross. Powerful sermon on the cross. And somebody had, send me a text message, and they said, that was theologically inappropriate for you to preach about the cross when it's Resurrection Sunday. You're supposed to preach on the resurrection and not on the cross. You know, listen, people are misguided. You got to clearly state the problem. What problem do we have here? All right, so whatever your problem is, clearly state the problem. Number one, determine if your situation is a problem or it's a condition. Number two, clearly state the problem. If you are going to solve a problem on purpose, you must clearly state the problem. Is it envy? Is it jealous? Is it wickedness? Is it weakness? You got to clearly state the problem. Is it insecurities? Is it poverty? What are we dealing with here? All right. So problem solving on purpose for all my friends who are joining. Number three. I'm going to give you seven principles for decision making and problem solving on purpose. Now, I love leadership. I really do believe there's a call. There's a spiritual gift on my life. One of my spiritual gifts is leadership. And one thing I've discovered is the most painful thing in life is to see leaders who have the authority, but they do not want the responsibility. And there are many leaders who love the authority, but they avert and run away from the responsibility. Now, when I say a leader, I'm not just talking of a president, I'm not talking of a CEO, I'm talking about you in your family. Okay, leaders, you are a leader to solve problems. Okay, that's what leadership is. Leadership is solving a problem. If you are not solving nothing, you are not a leader. Leadership is not having the biggest desk and the office on the corner. No, solve problems. All right, let's talk about it. Let's get into it. So how do I solve problems on purpose? Somebody says, can you break down, number one, some more, problems versus condition? That's very, very important. So you need to determine if the situation is a problem or it's a condition. Now, the difference between these two is this. When it's a condition, we know how to fix a condition. And a condition is something that you can change the atmosphere, the environment, and then things can change. Sometimes if it's a, it may just need you to walk away from it, just step away from it. You feel what I'm saying? Sometimes give it a little bit of time and it will solve itself. Okay, conditions can solve themselves given time, but a problem may need you to make a decision. So you need to know, am I dealing with a condition? Am I dealing with a problem? Okay. Number three, determine if you're going to solve problems on purpose. This is important. I think this is one of the most important presentations I'll ever make on progress on purpose. Determine what will be gained or lost in solving this problem. You determine what are you going to gain and what are you going to lose when you solve this problem. Because let me tell you something, my friend. When you solve a problem, you're going to gain something, you're going to lose something, and you must know what you're going to gain, you must know what you're going to lose. This is why so many leaders got so much power and they are weak. They cannot make decisions. All right? Here it is. Just simply because you got the authority does not mean you do have the guts to make what you're supposed to do. So you need to understand, whenever you're solving a problem, determine what you're going to gain, determine what you're going to lose by solving the problem. Some of you are going to lose friends because you're solving a problem. Some of you are going to lose upward mobility because you solved a problem. Sometimes you gain a friend, and other times you may gain a greater sphere of influence. You are more blessed when you're solving a problem and you have already evaluated, calculated the cost, and you have an idea of what you're going to lose and what you're going to gain. It matters. It really does. If you don't get that, then you're going to be discouraged when you're supposed to be encouraged. That's what the Bible says in Joshua chapter 1. Be strong and very courageous. Problems are solved by courageous people. And when I say problem, I'm talking about the problems in your life. Okay, if you are dating somebody who is no good because where they're going is not where you're going, come on, talk to me. If you are going to solve that dating problem you have, you must determine what you're going to gain by letting him go. And you're going to determine what you're going to lose by letting him go. Because here he is. People come with positives and negatives. So if you're going to solve a problem, you need to understand there's a positive the negative person has that you're going to lose because you have solved the problem. Does that make sense? Somebody just put your hearts up and thumbs up so that I can get to understand if we are together on this thing. So if you're going to solve a problem on purpose, determine what is going to be gained or what is going to be lost in solving the problem. Listen to me. You are not going to gain 100% when you solve a problem. You're going to lose someone's favor. You're going to lose someone's friendship. If somebody was benefiting from the problem, listen to me. If somebody was benefiting from the problem and you solve the problem, you've earned yourself an enemy. I love leadership, man. Leadership in the family, leadership in the church, leadership in the country. It doesn't matter where leaders are. If you are a leader, that's why sometimes when you start solving problems, you must be comfortable. You must be okay walking alone. Because problem solvers are not celebrated everywhere. Are you feeling what I'm saying? So if you are a person who is addicted to people's approval and people's applause, and you are not going to get it done. You're very right, sir. It appears as if it's not fair. Being a leader, it's a spiritual gift. That's why I laugh at people who want to walk in and say, I'm a leader. You don't make yourself a leader. The problem you were created to solve makes you a leader. You feel what I'm saying? Leadership is not a title. Leadership is a function. When you're solving a problem, you have a function to solve a problem. You don't have a title. See, we have a lot of title people. Can I say it? I feel like saying right now, we have so many leaders and so little leadership. Because we got a lot of people who have got power and they do not have the guts to use and execute and solve problems. I'm so proud of my president, President Joe Biden. I mean, he came in when we were dying. I mean, the thing was just bad. And he promised 1 million vaccine shots in arms. And in 56 days, he did it. And he came up and he said, listen, I'm going to double it to 200 million in 100 days. That's it. That is problem solving. Okay, so as I was studying him, I love to study good leaders, okay, even bad leaders. You learn a whole lot of stuff from leaders, good and bad. Oh, they teach you a lot. I discovered something because, number one, he determined if the situation was a problem or a condition. And all he did was to fix the condition. And right now in America, I got my first shot. I'm waiting for the second shot. I mean, it's available. People are getting shots. I mean, numbers have gone down. Why? Because he determined the situation, if it was a problem or a condition. We had a condition which was worse off than the problem itself. And in less than 100 days, President Joe Biden is running and rushing and almost getting to 200 million shots in arms. That's problem solving on purpose. So clearly state the problem. Yes, leadership, being a leader is a function, not a title. So we have a lot of people with titles, but they ain't functioning. It's like you saying, I'm a teacher, but you don't have a student. It's like you saying you are a musician, but you don't sing. Okay, please leave me alone. Leave me alone. Leadership, listen, man, I love leadership. Okay, here it is. Here's number. So determine what you gain or what you lose by solving a problem. If you break up with that person, you're going to lose some chocolates on Valentine's. But you may gain your peace and you may gain the next best thing. But there will always be a gain, there will always be a loss when you choose to solve a problem. So determine it. If you are expecting it, it will not shock you as it would when you are not expecting it to happen. All right, number four, if you are going to solve problems on purpose, we all have problems. Let me tell you something, we all got problems. Read through scripture, you're gonna discover people who had problems. Some of the greatest preachers in the Bible had problems at home. I mean, you're looking at Aaron. His boys went into the sanctuary and started strange fire. You're looking at Eli. Eli was a great prophet, and his boys slept with women in the church. You're looking at Samuel. Samuel was a great prophet. Do you know that people wanted a king because Samuel's children were so bad that the people said, they are not going to lead us. We need a king. It was because of a spiritual leader's weakness that Israel demanded a king. We all got problems. Oh, can I say it? I feel it. Can I say it? Nobody has it all. We all got problems. That's why you shouldn't envy nobody. Envy no one. Listen, I celebrate everybody in my life. At this point in my life, I am the greatest cheerleader. I want to be the greatest cheerleader in my life. If I were to die, I want my family to put on my tombstone that here lies the greatest encourager that we... Listen, here's what I've discovered. Everybody's working with something broken in their lives. We all got problems. But we need to know how to solve those problems on purpose. All right? Don't make anybody look like they're better than you. Nobody's better than anybody. You can be better off, but you are never better than. All right? So here it is. Number four, if you're going to solve problems on purpose, identify alternative methods and solutions. All right. Can I say this? Every problem has multiple solutions. Every problem has more than one solution. So you need to sit down. If you're going to solve your problem on purpose, you need to sit down and think about this problem. Think it out. And no solution is too small. No solution is too stupid. They are all available for you. Don't always, you see, when people commit, okay, let me not go there. When we commit suicide on our dreams and destiny, it only happens when we feel like there's no other way to do it. But I want you to understand, child of God, there's always more than one solution to your problem. If you read about the children of Israel, when they were coming out of Egypt, oh no, they didn't just, in fact, the Bible says there was a way that was quicker for them to get there. There was a way that was quicker for them to get to the promised land, but God said, if they meet some Philistines, they are going to run away. So let me take them the longer way. So simply because there's one way. Okay, can I talk to you? Look at me. Let me talk to you a little bit. When you think about where you live right now, there are so many ways to get to your home. There are so many ways to get to your job. There are so many ways to get to your church. And as much as there are so many ways to get to the store where you buy bread for your family, I want you to understand right here, progress on purpose. There are more ways to solve this problem that's in front of you right now. Sometimes your problem is denying the other solutions and the other methods because you want to be a martyr where you could be alive and well and thriving. So identify alternative methods and solutions. You know what? I've pastored churches where sometimes people don't even like it at that church. They are so negative about their church. They say negative stuff about their church. And you wonder, why are you here? You are not a tree. Move to the next church where you can be happy and glad to be there. Oh, I don't like the pastor. Oh, I don't listen. He's not the only pastor. Oh, come on, somebody put some thumbs up for me right there. You know, the problem is you want the pain. So sometimes you stay there because you just want, oh, I was born and raised over here. Listen, you can outgrow places. Come over here, Abraham. Abraham will let you know God told me, get out of your country, go to another place. Come over here, Ruth. Ruth will let you know, God told me, get out of Moab and let's go to Judea. Come over here, Joseph. God said the dream can only happen in Egypt. You need to understand there's a blessing in a move. Oh, God, identify alternative methods and solutions to your problem. Don't sit around and cry over stuff. Do you know the blessing of being a human being is the fact that you can move? That's the blessing of being a human being. You can move. You can get in the car. You can get in the bus. You can get on the plane. You can get on the train. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You can even put your shoes on and take a walk. So if you're to solve problems on purpose, let me tell you something. I've discovered at this stage in my life, let me tell you something. I am in the best frame and best season of my life. I'm in it. I am enjoying the season I'm in. Because here's one thing I've discovered. Because in this season, I've seen too much. I've done so many mistakes. And now I cannot waste time crying over spilled milk. I can't do it. I just cannot do it. I don't have that time. Can I say this? Write this thing down. Whilst you're identifying alternative methods and solutions to your problem, if you're to solve it on purpose. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what wakes me up in the morning, running to progress on purpose and preaching everywhere and encouraging everybody. Let me tell you this. Listen to me. I'm about to give you something. Because my young brother died. My young brother died. He died at 36. Now listen to me. And when my brother died and I adopted his children, they're mine now. He left me a 2-month-old son and a 3-year-old daughter, and they are mine now. For the past 2 years, they've been mine. Let me tell you something. If I have no time for negativity, there's so much negativity in my life, in my personal life, in my professional career. There's so much negativity, but I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. I cannot RSVP every problem I'm invited in. I cannot do that. Why? Because let me tell you something, my friends. Every time I wake up in the morning, Terry, I feel the privilege of being alive because I outlived my brother. I cannot be negative on anybody anymore. Because every morning I get up, I'm the firstborn in my family. It should have been me. If death in families came through age, I was supposed to be dead and my 36-year-old brother was supposed to be alive. I'm dealing with survival guilt. Survival guilt says, look, should have been me. I'm older. He had more to do. I'd already accomplished what I got to do. You need to understand, I don't care what problem you got right now. You can solve it on purpose. You are the only person tying yourself down because you are over-exaggerating the past and you are underestimating the future. Your future is bigger than your past. I don't care what you've done in your past. Your future is greater than your past. Oh, I feel like preaching up in here, but I don't have to preach. Somebody, please forgive me. Here it is. Identify alternative methods and solutions. If it ain't working in Africa, there's America, there's Europe, there's Australia, there's Asia. You are not stuck in Africa. If it ain't, listen, move. All right, let me get to number five. Can you get to number five? All right, problem solving on purpose. I'm just talking about people who want to solve problems on purpose. Listen, I discovered that my mama let me not talk about my mama. All right, let's get to number five. Okay, number five. If you're going to solve problems on purpose, number one, determine if the situation is a problem or a condition. That's number one. Number two, clearly state the problem. What are you dealing with here? Okay, what are you dealing with here? Don't shoot at anything that you haven't, that you cannot see. All right, don't assume what you can verify. Clearly state your problem. Do your homework on this problem. You need to clearly state, what is the problem? The problem is I need more school. What is the problem? If you're going to solve it on purpose, number three, identify what will be gained or what will be lost in solving this problem. Whenever you solve a problem, you're going to gain some and lose some. It is what it is. That's how it works. So if you're going to solve problems on purpose, you got to determine what you're ready to lose. That's why people don't solve problems. That's why people know what the problem is and nobody does anything about it because they want a solution that has no losses. Are you kidding me? Can I talk to somebody? Listen, can I say this? I think some brothers are going to love this thing. It is. And people always say, man, I want to put on muscle. You know, I want to lose weight and I want to put on muscle. Are you ready for this? In order for you to gain muscle, you must lose weight. Oh, God, here it is. You lose by gaining. You lose weight by gaining muscle. Come on, talk to me. If muscle is coming in, then you need to understand fat is rolling out. Whenever you want to solve a problem, there will be wins and losses. And you must determine. It works. It really works. There's one of my churches that I pastored for a while. And somebody said to me, Pastor, if you were still our pastor, we would have had an early resurrection morning service. And I said, praise the Lord, because you ain't going to have it because you lost it. So I want to challenge the child of God who is out here, who is listening to me. Instead of you fighting people who have done you wrong, trying to be everywhere, listen, you keep solving your problem on purpose. And when you do, you're going to win some and you're going to lose some. And the perfect will of God is always tied up to problem solving. If you want to know if it is the will of God, the question is, whose problem are you running to solve and whose problem are you running away from solving? That's it. You're in between two places. You're either running to solve a problem or you are running from solving a problem. Are you with me on this one? It is what it is. Nobody has a spiritual gift of causing problems. If the Spirit of God is on you, it is on you to solve problems. All right, here's number what now? Number five. Number five, it is calculate the cost. Calculate the cost of each alternative method of solving the problem. It's going to cost you something to solve a problem on purpose. Oh, it's going to cost you. Calculate the cost. All right, so some of you look at me and say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Glad you asked. All right, I'm feeling my people here. Here it is. Calculate the cost for each alternative method and solution to your problem. Okay, because it's going to cost you something. Okay, calculate. It's going to cost you time. So calculate that. It's going to cost you time to solve a problem. It's going to cost you energy to solve a problem. It's going to cost you an attitude to solve a problem. Number four, it's going to cost you public opinion. You didn't hear what I said. So many people who could fix our problems and move on and get it done, but because of public opinion, so many people cannot fix their stuff on purpose. Calculate the cost. There's always going to be a cost. And let me tell you, are you ready for this? If there ain't nobody out there talking about you, you ain't worth much. The number of your haters and those who cannot sleep because you must hurt and you must die. Let me tell you something. If you have nobody who wakes up in the morning and they want to see you out, you ain't doing a lot. If you are doing a lot, they are committees, they are meetings, they are calls, they are emails, they are visits that people are doing just to see how much they can rack you up. But all you got to do is calculate the cost. You're going to solve a problem for your family, a problem for your money problem, your health problem. Calculate the cost. Okay, if you are going to lose weight, you want to be healthy, it's going to cost you time, it's going to cost you energy, it's going to cost you attitude, and it's going to cost you public opinion. You know, I go walking every day, and there's one thing I've discovered. There's a brother that I've seen for a while now, you know, for 3 years where I am staying. And this brother is faithfully out, whether it's cold, raining, whatever, he's out. And let me tell you something. The first time I saw the brother, he was so big. And you could see people look at him funny. That's the cost of trying to be healthy. People's opinion. People had things to say. You see him now, the brother is on another level. The brother is losing that thing. Why? Because he calculated the cost. All of us wants to have more money. All of us wants to be more healthy. All of us wants to eat good stuff. All of us wants to be good people. The problem is we don't want the cost. See, you're not going to be a good friend if you don't call people. You're not going to be a good friend if you don't reach out to other people. There are some people who are so entitled that if you don't call them, they never call you. I tell people every time, I don't have permanent friends. Every January 1, I must have a relationship and a conversation with my contact list. Did you hear what I'm saying? Because if we didn't talk for the whole year, I think, you know, you have moved on, I've moved on. There's so much stuff happening in life. Are you feeling like? It's like you going to your wardrobe and discovering you have a dress, ladies, you have a suit, gentlemen, that you haven't put on for 4 years. You know what? You're going to give it to somebody else because it doesn't even exist in your mind. If it surprises you that you got it, it means you don't need it. All right. So calculate the cost, okay? Calculate the cost of each alternative. If you're going to solve problems on purpose, you must calculate the cost. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you energy. And it's going to cost you attitude, and is going to cost you public opinion. Oh, people are going to talk. If you're going to solve a problem on purpose, get ready for people. And let me tell you something. People always say it's impossible till it's done. That's what President Nelson Mandela said. So keep doing. And the moment you succeed, everybody wants to tell everybody when they first knew about you. You solve that problem on purpose. All right. Number six, here it is. If you're going to solve problems on purpose, number six, here it is. Number six, choose to solve the problem. Some problems are not solved because we haven't chosen to solve it. It's that simple. Choose to solve the problem. Choose to solve the problem. If you are in a situation where it's very hurtful and painful, make a choice. The problem we have, many of us are waiting for other people to make decisions for us. No, make the choice. Choose that you're going to solve your problem on purpose. Make the choice. Can I say it? You are as strong as the choices you are willing to make. You are as strong as the choices you are willing to make. Oh, no, 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 no. You are not weak. No, no, no. Feeling weak does not mean you don't have strength. If you are going to solve any problem on purpose, it's a choice. You got to choose. Choose that. Because whatever you are not choosing to do, you are choosing not to do. Make the choice. Yes, mother, make the choice. Make the choice. You know what? This man talks down on me. This boyfriend talks down on me. And he makes me feel bad. Make the choice. Don't pray for people to die so that you are free. No, make the choice. When you make the choice, it empowers you. Let me tell you something. Any choice, anything that you do out of choice makes you stronger for the next decision you must make. And somebody says, Pastor Kambizi, you are such a gift to the body of Christ. People pay thousands for this type of information. You're right, preacher. You're very right. But you see, I have some friends that I just love. I just love. Somebody actually, thank you, preacher, for saying that. And I'll share this with you. Last week, I had somebody just surprise me on Cash App, sent me something, said, listen, you have changed my life. You have no idea. And they did exactly what you're saying. So here it is. Here's number seven. So choose to fix it. Here's number seven. Number seven is very, very important. If you're going to solve problems on purpose, number one, determine if the situation is a problem or it's a condition. That one is very, very important. Separate the issue from the tissue. Separate. You got to know the difference. Am I dealing with a weakness or wickedness? Am I dealing with situation or a problem? Because how you deal with it, it becomes easier. You know what they say in the medical field? They say, what do they say? They say prognosis if is half the cure. When the doctor knows what your problem is, it's half the cure. The other half is the prescription. Okay, a doctor cannot give you a prescription. Have you ever noticed that when you go to your doctor, they ask you this, give you forms where they ask you about you, ask you about your parents, ask you about your grandparents. Have you ever asked yourself, why do they ask me all this kind of stuff? Doc, I'm the one who is sick. And they... Is your father dead? Yes. Oh, okay, fine. What did he die from? And you're wondering, whoa, we're not talking about, this is too much now. You're getting into my private life. No, the doctor is trying to study your problem to identify if it's a problem or it is a condition. Is this something that's in your family or this is something that is with you alone? If it takes learned doctors of years of practice to ask you questions for them to identify you, don't you think you need to determine if it's a... All right, so number two, clearly stated. Okay, never assume what you can verify. Never assume what you can verify. In my life as a pastor, I've discovered so many people have been destroyed in the church. So many people have been destroyed in the church. So many pastors have been destroyed in the church by having leaders who loved assuming instead of simply verifying. You don't never assume what you can verify. You're going to destroy so many people when you assume stuff. But when people don't want to be right, they will always go with assumptions more than verification of stuff. Have you ever had somebody ask you a question and say, well, I just heard. Well, tell me who told you. See, at this stage in my life, I don't care what you hear. If you ask me a question, well, I just heard. No. If you want truth from me, then you need, everybody ought to be transparent here. Tell me, hey, John told me that you did this. Is it true? And let me tell you something, gossipers will run away from you when you are transparent like that. But when you always go by assumptions instead of verifying, there are so many churches that are destroyed and they will never be the same again. There are so many people who have walked away from Christ because somebody assumed instead of verifying. So clearly state the problem. Determine what you gain, determine what you lose by solving the problem. Identify alternative methods. Listen, there are always multiple solutions and multiple methods to solve a problem. You just choose which one you have the capacity to deal with. You can go to your house so many ways. You can go to your church so many ways. The same is true with most problems. And calculate the cost of each method you're going to use, because it's going to take you time, energy, attitude, and people's opinion. And then just choose. Just choose. Choose to solve the problem. And then number seven, woo, you want to solve problems on purpose, right? All right, here's number seven. Delegate action steps. Delegate. In other words, don't do it alone. Don't go it alone. Ask somebody. Sometimes you may just need an accountability partner. Delegate someone to be your coach. Delegate somebody to be your, you know, that's one thing I noticed when I went, you know, I used to go to the gym all alone, get in the gym, you know, you get in there. And then I discovered I wasn't doing much in the gym, but I was spending time in the gym. And then I discovered, man, ain't nothing happening. I looked over here, the brothers looking, or sisters looking. I said, what's wrong with me? Then I started noticing something. I discovered people had partners. Oh, it's easy for you to accomplish more in the gym when you have a gym partner. You feel me? Or you can get a trainer. Somebody, you can even pay somebody for them to let you know, look, let's go. Dig deep. Give me one more. Delegate action steps. Delegate action steps and implement the plan. You may need some people in order for you to solve your problem on purpose. You may need to delegate some things. All right. So here are six questions. I'm about to be done. Okay. Here are six questions I want you to ask yourself and answer if you're going to solve problems on purpose. I love each and every one of these. Six questions that you must ask in any problem you're in if you are going to solve it on purpose. Number one, does the solution violate biblical truth or biblical principle? Does this solution that I want for this problem violate biblical truth or biblical principle? If you're a Christian, it matters, because you're not just trying to solve problems however you want to solve problems. You don't want to violate the Bible in solving a problem. And that's what happens a lot. See, the Bible says if anybody has got an issue, you know what? You cannot just embarrass people. That's not divine. God does not specialize in embarrassing. If you're going to help anybody solve any problem by embarrassing someone, God is not part of the solution. No, God is not part of the solution. So you got to ask yourself a question. I want to solve this problem on purpose. But number one, does this solution that I have for this problem violate the Bible? Is there Bible truth that I'm going to mess up and a Bible principle that I'm going to mess up? All right. Is number two question you need to ask yourself. Does this solution that I have for my problem meet the needs of those affected? Okay. Does this solution that I have meet the needs of those affected? Because every problem affects people. So if you are going to look for a solution to a problem on purpose, you need to ask yourself this question. Does this solution I have meet the needs of those affected? Because most of the times what I've discovered in my life as a pastor and as a leader, many leaders create more problems, more unnecessary problems, because of the solutions they try to put in to fix a problem. And let me tell you how this works. This is very, very critical. It's very critical. It's a biblical principle that is in there. You got to see, is this solution going to meet the needs of those affected? It matters, because if it doesn't meet the needs of those affected, it's going to discourage those affected. It's going to make their situation even worse when it should have been fixed. Number three question you must ask yourself, child of God. Will people support the implementation of this solution? Will people that you value, people you care for, people that you look up to, people who are in your life. Listen, Proverbs chapter 11, 14 says, where there's no counsel, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors, they suffer it. So in other words, you cannot make one decision all by you. It's amazing how leaders call for meetings when their minds are already made up. See, don't try to fix your family when you've already made up your mind, where people come in and they play into your game so that you can put a check mark. Oh, we had a meeting. Oh, we discussed that. Well, was your mind even moved with the new information that you got, which you didn't have before the meeting took place? So here it is. If you're going to solve any problem on purpose, you must ask yourself this question. Will people support the implementation of this solution? And I'm talking about people who matter in the situation. Okay? Because not everybody is part of it. See, you need the support of the people who are going to be impacted by the solution and who have been impacted by the problem. You don't want to discourage the people who were supporting you when you bring in a solution that will make them question you. Oh, okay. All right. Hey, I can't wait that the vaccine is here and the corona is going down. I'm going to be starting some conferences that we're going to be doing all over the globe. I really want to do it. I want to empower people. I want to train companies. I want to train families. I just want to come out there. I want to preach the gospel and make people's lives better. I really do believe this pandemic gave me my call. Kind of eliminated some distractions that I had in my life. Because sometimes we put everything in one place that at the end of the day, you discover your lack of joy, lack of strength, lack of movement is because you've put everything in one place when God has gifted you to be in multiple places for you to help the most people that you can. Okay, so you need the support of the people who are going to be impacted by the solution. You need that support because whatever decision you make is going to impact somebody, and you need that person's support. Seek it. Take time. Like I told you guys, there's going to be a cost to each alternative to solving a problem. It's going to cost you time. Don't rush the process. Put in the time. Talk to people. Verify things so that when everybody agrees, it is done. All right, let's keep on moving. Number four question you must ask, will this solution create other problems? If you're going to solve a problem on purpose, ask yourself this question. Will this solution I have create other problems? Because you don't want one solution to fix one problem and create four problems because of the one solution that was solving one problem. And sometimes that's what we do. And then we wonder why problems keep on giving birth to each other, and they've got cousins and nephews and grandparents. A problem can have a whole family. One problem can give birth to triplets other problems. So when you want to solve problems on purpose, you must calculate the cost. Don't just jump in there, and you must ask yourself this question. Will this solution create other problems? Number five, will this solution help avoid problems in the future? So number four says, will this create other problems now? Number five, will this solution help avoid problems in the future? So you're not only fixing it for now, but you have to have a future projection when you're solving a problem on purpose. I'm solving it now, and I want this solution to help avoid problems in the future. Now, I'll give you an example. I've been to the motherland. I love Africa. I love Africa so much. I have to go there. I have to go to Africa. You listen, I'm trying to go to every country on the continent of Africa. By God's grace, I believe I will. Here's what I've discovered. When you drive on the roads, and some cities here in America have got the same problem as well, you'll discover that It's amazing how they can fix a road. They fix a road, put a tarred road, and then after a year, all it needs is a rain season, and the tar is gone, and you have potholes everywhere. That's the perfect illustration of having fixing a problem that will help create problems in the future. So because the politicians want to pocket the money, instead of them putting in the best roads, they put in a cheap road so that, are you feeling? That's why politicians are richer than the people they represent. It's amazing that a politician can start as a poor person, but they'll end up as a multimillionaire. Where did you get the money from? So whenever you are fixing a problem, you need to ask yourself this question: will this solution help avoid problems in the future? All right, this happens. I've been in the church. I'm a church guy. And one thing I've discovered, most of the, when we're trying to solve problems in the church, we actually solve problems that will create problems in the future. All right, so how do we do that? In other words, we make decisions in the now, okay, to appease two people who will not be in the church a month later. Are you feeling what I'm saying? And then drive away the people who really would have been there 20 years later. So it matters for you to understand, will this solution I'm doing help avoid problems in the future? Am I fixing now for later? Or I'm fixing now to create problems later? We call this kicking the can down the road. So if you're going to solve problems on purpose, you don't want to do it so that during your time you're okay, but when others come after you, they've got crises and problems. I'll tell you one thing, and I can testify, I'm almost done, just one point here. I can testify on problem solving problems on purpose. Every church I have pastored, I've left it better. I can truly say that. Every church I have pastored, I've left it better. Every church I've pastored, I've left it better. I can go back to the church and they are things that people, no matter how much people will deny it, they are things that they can never refuse that it was done. It matters because you need to understand, one day you'll be gone, one day you'll be forgotten, one day nobody, but you need, whenever you're solving problems, ask yourself this question: will this solution help avoid problems in the future? And then number six here it is. Why should this solution be selected over others? Why am I choosing this solution over the many other solutions I have? Let me tell you something, my friends. You cannot solve problems on purpose if you're always trying to do the minimal required on any problem you are solving. Okay? Again, I use the gym thing. You know, somebody said to me, be careful about the gym stuff. People may think you're all masculine. Oh, no, I'm not. But here's what I discovered. I discovered something that blew my mind. You know, when you do minimal stuff, you know, minimal stuff tells you, they tell you must exercise for 30 minutes, three times a week. Now, three times a week, 30 minutes, and you want to lose weight, it's not going to work. It's going to give you a good heart, but you're not going to burn nothing. They tell me in my studies that it'll take you, your body starts burning fat after 45 minutes of consistent, sustained activity. So if you walk 30 minutes every day, you're not burning no fat. You're having a good heart and good breathing and driving stress away, but you ain't fixing nothing. So here's what it is. If you live your life always asking the question, what's the minimum requirement? What are the minimum requirement? No. The gains are beyond the minimum requirement. So if you're going to solve problems on purpose in our lives, it matters for us not to always look at the minimum. What can I do? What's the minimum I can do? But it must be, what's the maximum I can do? And then aim for the maximum. And if I miss the maximum, I will be above the minimum. Oh, I feel like, I feel this thing. So why should this solution be selected over others? You must think. Are you feeling what I'm saying? You must think. You must learn to think. Take time to think. I was reading the other day about Harvard University. And I discovered they've got a place, they've got a tower, a thinking tower. There's a thinking tower on campus. And I said, man, I'd like to go there one day. And as I was reading, they said, well, the guy who came up with FedEx, the company, he actually, the idea came while she was in there. There are so many people who are game changers, entrepreneurs in this world today who came up with those ideas. Your mind is a powerful tool. The mind is so powerful that if we can feed it and give it a chance, most of our problems, we can solve them if we pray and sit down and think it through. Don't spiritualize all of your problems. If you don't have money, you're not going to get money through prayer. Yeah, you pray, but you go work. Think. And when you go work, you need to ask yourself, which job do I need? Because you could be working. Why should this solution be selected? That's a question. Can I say this? When you want to solve problems on purpose, you must learn to doubt the obvious. Somebody type that in there. Learn to doubt the obvious. There is a reason why the obvious is the obvious. If you're going to solve problems on purpose, you're not going to solve problems through the obvious. There is a reason why the obvious is the obvious. So you must learn to doubt the obvious so that you can go beyond the minimum. My friends, problem solving requires change. Problem solving requires change. In fact, not even one, requires changes. Problem solving, it is not, problems are not only eliminated by decision maker, but problems are only eliminated. It is, not only should you make the decision to eliminate them, but they are solved by the implementation of actions that will bring the needed change. In other words, you make the decision, you marry your decision making with action, and then you're going to have solution. So for those people of faith who are listening to me and watching me and who will watch and listen to me later, James puts it this way: faith without works is dead. Many of us don't have a faith problem. We have a works problem. We don't have works that line up with the faith. So we have a lot of faith and we have zero works, and God is saying it's dead. So you make the decision, and you must marry it with action, and then the solution of the problem solved is going to happen. So in other words, I've discovered this. People who say to you, I'll pray for you. Many people who tell you when you have a problem, I'll pray for you. Don't count on it. Don't count on it. Don't count on it. Problem solving don't need prayer. No, need action. You pray in action. Tell me what action you're going to put in. Don't tell me what you're going to pray. I've been praying before you pray. I've been fasting before you fasted. So don't tell me I'm going to fast for you as if your fasting is the only fasting that God is going to hear. No, that's not it. Many of us as Christians, we are soothed and massaged into a place where nothing happens by cliches that people use. I'll pray for you. No, don't pray for me. Pray with me. And after the prayer, tell me what you're going to do. Tell me what you're going to do. Faith without works is dead. It's like somebody telling you, I don't have a job. And then you say, I'm going to pray for you. No, you pray and then you send some money for the bills. Oh, come on, talk to me. So you don't want the whole church praying for you and nobody giving you a dollar to pay your bills will not pay your bills. If you are a believer, you got the faith. Show works that line up with the faith. Blessings on you, my friends. I'm just excited. I need to go eat now. I need to eat. I need to solve my hunger problem on purpose. Listen, problems can be solved. It's a powerful thing to be alive. Everybody got some problems. Nobody has it all. We have problems not because God wants to kill us, but because it strengthens our belief and faith in God. Thank God, the more problems you have, the more lively, alive you become in your life. Blessings on you, my friend. Some problems make you cry, but listen, somebody sang a song and it says he'll never give you more than you can bear. Well, that's a good statement. I discovered for a few of us, God gives us more than we can bear so that we can learn to depend on him. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. And through it all, I've learned to believe in his word. Problems are the best friends you can ever have in your life. My friend, blessings on you as you solve your problems on purpose. It can be done. You just need to choose it. And we pray, Father, thank you for what you have done. Please, we pray, take away the fear of the unknown and give us the courage to face it so that we can fix it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. See you again tomorrow, everybody. Blessings on you as you progress on purpose.